Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Nan, and welcome to week two. So tell me, who's there?
Rebecca's here.
Hey, Rebecca. Welcome.
Thank you.
Kathleen's here.
I'm sorry, Diane. I didn't catch who that was. Oh, I caught Diane. Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen. Sorry. I think I must have just caught the Ian part and wasn't sure. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Who else
Jimmy,
is there?
Chris is here.
Krista's here. Just got on.
I heard Krista. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And I heard a voice before that, and I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
Demetrius.
Oh, Demetrius. Hello. Demetrius, I got an email from Bernadette that you were having a little bit of trouble with the finding the material. So I did send you another invitation to the Facebook group, so I hope that will get to you, and I'll also send you another link to the class materials and recordings, and you can let me know if you get that, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm sorry that you're having that trouble. Who else is there?
Mary,
hi, Nan.
Is that Jaylene?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I cut
welcome.
Out someone else.
That's okay. Glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And who else?
Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth. Welcome.
Thank you. And Becca.
And Becca. Hello. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
So I haven't heard from Jerry, Kelly, Sandra, or Veronica. Okay. Well, I hope that you all had a great week, as good a week as we can, given these times. It's always nice to be able to find the gifts in any situation, isn't it, to look for the positives. So are any shares that any of you would like to make before we jump in and get started on our day today? All right. So last week, I gave you some homework to do, the SWOT analysis. Oh, here's someone checking in. Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, Nan. This is Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good, good. Welcome. So last week for homework, you had the SWOT analysis to do, a vision board, and or mind map. So I'm wondering, what were your experiences? Who will share about a SWOT analysis? How was that?
Hi, Nan. This is Jaylene.
Yes, Jaylene. Hi.
I loved it because I appreciate just reinforcing what I know deep inside, the things that I'm good at. And even though I'm distracted daily from pursuing those as much as I'd want to, it helps me just reinforce whatever goals I have that are following my strength. I won't give up because I know that I'm on the right track. And then it also helps me to, you know, think about how I can address my weaknesses and my resources, et cetera. So I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you, Jaylene. That was a great share. I appreciate that. Did anyone else do that exercise?
Hi, Nan. It's Krista.
Hi, Krista.
Yeah, I did it, and I found it interesting, the last question about what's the worst that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
As I went through everything, and the worst that could happen, like, and I was honest about it. I'm like, well, I could end up homeless and have nobody there to help me. And then it was interesting because I was quickly like, well, that's my fear. And then I just went on with it, but that's not what's going to happen. And here is what's going to happen.
Mm.
Right? So it allowed me to look at my deepest fears and then see that, but that's not the reality.
Yeah, right? That's right.
You have to face them. So I appreciate that part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because, you know, it's so true. Our fears go to the extremes, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just want to check in with that beep that I heard. Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, it's Veronica. Sorry I'm
late. Hey, Veronica. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Krista, it's amazing, isn't it, to look at the worst possible things that can happen and be able to say, yes, but look at my strengths.
Right.
Look at the opportunities that I have that I can prevent that from happening.
Right, exactly.
And also, I think it helps us to be grateful for what we do have and to say, wow, you know, things could be so much worse. As bad as they are for me right now, they could be so much worse.
Right.
So think of the time that we waste worrying about the worst case scenario when we could be using that time in such a more positive way. So it's incredible when you think about it and when you start to examine it, how much time we give over to fear.
Right.
And unnecessarily so. So I'm really glad that you saw that, Krista, that you came to that conclusion yourself and recognized what was going on in terms of living in fear for you. That, I think that's an awesome insight.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, because maybe that's something that someone else might not have thought about. So I appreciate that.
Right.
And I heard another beep. Is someone joining us?
Oh, hi. This is Jerry from Honolulu. Sorry,
hey, Jerry. That's okay.
Thanks.
Good morning. I know it's 7 a.m. where you are. I just admire you and your commitment. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you.
We're just talking about the homework exercises and how it felt going through some of them, and some people are sharing some realizations and insights that they've had. And if you have anything to offer, we'd love to hear.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I didn't want to put you on the spot. However, if you have something to offer, we'd love to hear it.
Oh, no, not yet. I'll just listen along.
Okay. That's fair. Sure. Okay. What about the mind map or vision board? Did anyone get around to doing either of those? Okay.
This is Veronica. I tried the mind map, but then I couldn't print it, so.
Frustrating.
Yes, because you have to pay to print, and I didn't want to buy a membership.
Oh, I didn't realize that. No,
right.
I don't blame you. I'm sure there must be another freeware source that'll let you. Yeah.
But it was really an interesting exercise. Actually, I think when I, many, many years ago, probably about 20 years ago, I read the book, How to Use Both Sides of Your Brain by Tony Buchan, the guy who I think started that, kind of put those ideas out there originally. So I just kind of find my old book and was looking at it. And it's really interesting, and I'm going to do it again.
And oh, good for you. Don't give up.
Where I can print it without, where I can print it without having to buy a membership.
Yeah, there must
like
be
there
must be another site.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I gave you that one. I gave you that site and didn't realize that. I'll have to check out different one. If I find one, I definitely will post it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for
okay,
letting
great.
Me know about that. Yeah. All right. So I know that. The homework pieces, I gave you a lot of reading to do. And you might find that you don't get a chance to catch up on doing all of them as we go through this course. And, you know, don't worry about it. If that happens, you have the tools. We will have had the talks and discussions so that you know, even after the course ends, you can pursue some of these exercises and share in the Facebook group what some of your insights and learnings are. So in the reading, I gave you Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And Maslow, yes.
This is Diane. Sorry, I don't know these readings are. Am I missing something?
Right.
Oh, in the link that was sent to you where it says click here to download the materials, and when you click on that line, the whole course curriculum is there for you.
And I didn't get that.
Now, I saw the course curriculum, but I didn't see the reading.
The readings, right.
Well, the curriculum is the reading, doing the reading.
Oh, okay.
You know, for week two, that really is it. Maybe I haven't given enough direction there. So if there's some misunderstanding, I apologize.
Well, this is Becca, and from what I see is you just keep scrolling down, guys, and you're just going to see session one, you'll see session two, and there's a lot of writings by Nan before that and a lot of stuff after that. I just kept scrolling down until I found it.
There were two handouts, I think. One is shorter, and then there was another one that was like 53 pages. So I think somebody might have just opened one of the short ones, which talks about what we're saying what we're talking about each week. But there's another one that's got 53 pages.
Yes, the one with the 53 pages has all of the information that we'll be talking about. Maybe she gave you, I know she sent out the wrong curriculum at first. She sent out an old one, and maybe that was just a course outline or something.
Yeah.
The one with the 53 pages has all the detail on it.
Yeah,
and
I thought there was a separate reading on Maslow other than that.
There's the reading for you to discuss about, for you to contemplate about Maslow. And if you haven't read it, don't worry. I'll talk more. We'll just talk about it today. And then I'll make sure I'll send the link out again to everybody in a group email and I sent it to you too, to where it had the recording from last week. And again, above that blue box where it says click here to download the curriculum, you just click on that line and it takes you directly to the curriculum. I really apologize that there's this much confusion. I think sending out that first one, the older one, has confused a lot of people. So we replaced the old one with the new one. So
it appears I did not get a new one because I just opened up the all the attachments and nothing is 53 pages. It has the table of contents for 53 pages, but it ends after a note from the author and your contact information.
Okay, that was an initial welcome package. It's too bad we don't have a classroom to go to. All I have is a link to send you to a page that we have.
But I don't have a link to a page. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm gonna resend the link to everyone. Did you get the link to the recording?
Yes.
That I sent out after class?
Yes.
Did you have that in front of you? Could you just click on that link?
Okay.
So that sends you, there's a blue box there.
Okay. Well, it just says click here to download the course materials. I thought that was just a link to the recording. I had no idea there was course materials there. Okay, I got it now. Thank you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, maybe she needs to highlight that a little better to make sure that that's the link.
Yeah, this so link it, has the full book. The link that I had in email does not have the full book.
Okay.
So that's where I got confused. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I will make sure. Did all of you get the link to the recording that I sent after class last week?
Yeah. It's Rebecca. I did not get the link. I didn't get an email with the recording.
I didn't either, Veronica.
Now,
yeah,
Rebecca, okay.
I didn't notice
it. And neither did
Becca. I received one.
Okay, so Jerry, if you did get that link, if you click on it, and you'll see when you click on the link that I sent you, there's a blue box, and then above that blue box, it says click here to download course materials, and you click on that line, and it should take you right into the curriculum.
Okay, I got that. Yeah, I printed it up. I had it already.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Okay. So, Rebecca, you need it. I know,
yeah.
Demetrius, you need it.
And Becca.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will definitely send it out to you again, and we'll make sure you've got it. Okay. And again, if the three of you, so you did not get the link to the recording that I sent out after class last week as well.
No,
I didn't get it either. I'm checking. Is this the one where you invited us to join the group?
No, that's the Facebook group. That was the Facebook group.
No, I didn't get it.
Okay. Okay, because I sent it out as a group email with everyone's, you know, I have it as a group email with everyone's email address in it. And so I'll just send it out individually to you and make sure that your emails are getting through. Make sure I have the right email address for you. Okay.
Oh, man, this is Chris.
Yeah.
Also, it's possible that it could have gone to a spam folder. But some of the emails aren't.
All right.
Actually, they're ending up in the spam folder, so that's a possibility to check there, too.
Good thinking.
Man.
So if everyone would check their spam. Yes?
This is Kathleen. I actually thought that I hadn't received it, but I just found 4 emails from you in my spam.
Isn't that interesting? Okay.
Well, okay. This is Demetrius, and I think I am receiving them. I think I just misunderstood. I thought it was some additional reading that we needed to do outside of that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, because last week you mentioned something about transformational reading, that mm-hmm. we should do the transformational reading. So I went to go see if to read it, but I didn't see anything about transformational reading.
I've talked about transformational change. I'm not sure about transformation. Maybe. Because I sent you a couple of other resources in addition to the curriculum. I sent you an ebook just a booklet I wrote about overcoming fear. And there was another one about, I can't remember what the second one was. Yes, it's the vision board. Thank you, Jerry. Yes, the vision board. And in the welcome letter, I sent you an attachment with another one about living mindfully. So, and those ebooks are additional readings. They're just additional information for you, you know, if you have an interest to read any more about those topics.
Okay, so I think I'm receiving everything you're sending me.
Okay.
And I found mine in spam.
Oh, did you? Okay. So Rebecca, are you the only one left that hasn't gotten anything? I remember you changed your email address, so I wanted to make sure that I got the new. I'll send it to you anyway. So talking about Maslow, even though you haven't had a chance, if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, you know, Maslow wrote this book, Motivation and Personality, way back in the 1950s. And he had such interesting observations. He put his observations into a pyramid and created levels that from his observation of society in the 50s, and the lower levels focus on our basic needs for survival, our physiological needs. We need clean air, we need food, we need clean water. We need shelter, clothing, we need adequate sleep, and we need to reproduce. And those, according to Maslow, are our basic human needs. Once those needs are met, the next thing we think about is our need for safety, our personal security. We need employment so that we can make money and engage in the economy. We need resources, natural resources, man-made resources, health. Although I would put health down in one of the physiological basic needs, and property. Once our safety is assured and our basic needs are met, then we turn our attention to love and belonging, to friendship and intimacy with another human being, with other human beings, to family, and to a sense of connection. So we have a connection to other or others as a community. Once those needs are met, we start to think about issues of esteem, respect for self and respect for others, our status in our communities, recognition for, you know, for who we are, for our deeds and actions, for our reputations, strengths and freedoms. And then we finally, at the tip of the pyramid, is self-actualization. It's the desire to become the best person, the best version of ourselves that we can be. And it was through discussion with a friend of mine that we were wondering if there should be, if the pyramid should be expanded a little bit and there be another top to the pyramid that focuses on outside of self. Because for Maslow back in the 50s, it ends in an inward focus. And my friend and I were talking about, should there be also an outward focus, one of compassion for others, one of our responsibility to caring for others, one of we are more than just ourselves as an individual. And if so, how important is that in terms of our development as individuals, our development as a species? And so that's the reason that I included Maslow in this discussion, is, you know, looking back at legacies. If we are more than just ourself as an individual, then legacies matter. And if we are not more than just focus on me and me alone, then do we even think about legacy? Do they matter? Do we care? And when we talk about legacy, our legacies can be financial, though, you know, inheritances, scholarships, charitable donations, creating charitable foundations. They can be physical, the things that we leave in terms of, you know, buildings, equipment, vehicles, stuff, our stuff. And they also can be philosophical. And by that I mean living a purposeful life that is focused on enhancing the quality of life for others. And that can be through our visions and values, through our environment, environmentally friendly actions. And they can touch individuals or groups in local, regional, national, and even global communities. And so I guess I'm just asking your question, not that we can necessarily add another layer to Maslow just because we say so. What are your thoughts on the need for a focus on that higher level of responsibility for the human race?
This is Veronica. I always thought that self-actualization was not, is a dream. It's never really attained, that we are always seeking it. We are always pursuing it, but never quite reach it.
Ah.
That,
That is interesting. You're right.
Yeah, how is
lifelong learning. That, you know, we are always forever curious in learning more, aren't we, about ourselves and and the world. And so you're right. Maybe it's not a destination per se. Maybe it's the journey.
I think so. And we always go, we're reaching for it, but never quite get it. And I don't know that we will ever be truly, fully self-actualized because nobody's perfect.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So I don't think,
So do you think we have to be fully self-actualized in order for us to have an outward focus?
No. I think you can have an outward focus at any level, I think. I think even the people who are out on the street who are, can share a blanket, I mean, can share food, can share, I think that sharing can happen at any level.
They can care beyond themselves. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I heard a few other voices. Somebody else want to share your thoughts?
This is Demetrius. And
yes,
I wanted to say that I think it's a good thing that you never reach to the top. Because always a problem that I had about the pyramid was that the top was focused on self.
Yeah.
So I think that it's good that you don't reach the top to just be focused on yourself. You should always, that's just how I feel, though. You should think about other people.
Yeah. Of course, the tip of the pyramid says, it says a desire to be the most that one can be. So maybe that's what that means, is that we are always in the pursuit of growing to be better people, not necessarily that we.
But we don't reach it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is
anyone
this
else?
Is Kelly.
Yes,
this is
Kelly.
Kelly and I have a thought on that. Of it being that it can actually be similar to hunger. That it's something we ebb and flow out of, and there can be times when, say, all of our base or needs are being met, that we can experience moments and times of feeling self-actualized. And it's just something that's continually ebbing and flowing and evolving. It's nothing in life is constant.
Yeah, and it's important, too, that we never forget. You know, if once we've been in that place of hunger, you know, once we've been on that lower level and we rise to higher levels, we don't forget those experiences so that we can use them to help others. So we are kind of using maybe that outward, you know, caring at all of the different levels as well. How important is it for us to be having this discussion?
Because what it does is it provides you an opportunity to self-reflect. And personally, I just think more and more people need to take time to self-reflect. It's really valuable time.
Yeah, I think it is too.
This is Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
I did want to comment on one other thing that you said. You said that through ethics and morals about us developing communities that reflect common interests. And I really like that suggestion, that when we get clearer on who we are and what resonates for us, that then
we find communities and like-minded people that we can feel supported and connected in those same values to be able to share and even help grow that.
Yeah.
I like that, you making mention of that, because I think that's important in your, in one's life purpose, is in being, knowing who you are and then being supported by other, other like-minded people.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. I think the communities that we surround ourselves with, we do share those values.
Was that the sense of belonging?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, that, I think that's so important. And, needed more today, I think, than ever before. Especially with COVID and all that's going on. It really is important for us to stop and think about who our communities are and what our personal communities are, whether they're aligned with our personal values and those core beliefs that define our decisions and our behaviors. And when we have our own value system, then we understand what makes us choose, you know, our decisions and the actions that we make. And the ethics is that standard of moral conduct that are based on the values. And then in integrity, we take deliberate actions that are consistently aligned with our code of ethics. So, how are each of you, where do you stand in terms of having a personal value statement?
You mean, do we already have one?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay. It's interesting. I started doing work on this in about the 90s when, again, I was working in not-for-profit, and it really makes a difference, I think, when we act consciously and understand that we can live our life authentically, that's connected to our values, so that our authentic true self is always showing up. That you never have to worry about whether people will like you or not, because nobody is 100% liked. Do you like every single person that you meet?
No, I don't.
No. And so it's only normal or natural to think there are going to be people who, for whatever reason, don't like me. And probably
okay.
Yeah, it is okay. And probably the reason is that we have conflicting values. And so each person chooses the values that drive their thoughts and actions and behaviors. And
at
so
the same time, you can
go ahead.
I was going to say, at the same time, we can respect differences of opinion.
Yes, exactly.
Opinion
yes.
may be value-driven as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if we're all acting on values that we believe in, and we are all our true, authentic selves, then there are going to be people that we share values with, that we connect with, and people that we have different values from, that we don't connect with. And so that's why integrity, I think, is so important.
You can
so,
it,
and what it,
that you,
say, I'm sorry, say again?
I was going to say you can also like people that you don't share values with.
Yes, you can. You can respect them for being honest and being in integrity and standing in their own authenticity, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. This is Becca. I just wanted to say real quick, there's like a sense of freedom in that being able to show up as yourself, and somebody doesn't like you, then it releases you from that emotion because you're like, well, that's okay because I'm showing up truly, you know, authentically who I am. So it's okay then. Yeah.
You can give up being a people pleaser.
Right.
Because you don't have to twist. Sorry?
I was about to say this is really an interesting discussion in the face of the Black Lives Matter Now movement and the parts people of color, I'm a person of color, have to play in how you present. You can be your authentic self, but you are the target of microaggressions and so on.
Yes.
And because of that, right, it does place limits on one's ability to be truly authentic out there,
Right. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think that's maybe true of all of us for some, you know, that no matter what our ethnicity or our race or our gender or our job, you know, that we sometimes have to go along to get along. And that's not always
be mindful.
Easy.
I would say probably be mindful, because when I think of things you have to do as a person, so you have to be mindful as opposed to go along with.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know what? I'm a white person, and I can't even begin to imagine having to teach my child how to behave if a police officer stops you.
Exactly.
You know, I honest to God, I that just makes me sick to my stomach. And that has to change. And from my perspective, and I you don't want to get into politics or anything in, you know, in this course. It's just yes, these are the kinds of things I think that really guide us in terms of who do we want to show up as. You know, those protesters are being their authentic selves. They're putting their lives on the line.
Exactly.
You know, and there are a lot of white people out there that are putting their lives on the line protesting for those Black Lives to Matter too, which, you know, is really incredible. But this is the values and ethics and authenticity, I think, that is driving, you know, everyone in this whole discussion.
It's like forcing you, you know, whether you know, because a lot of people like to sit in a neutral stance, like, you know, well, it doesn't bother me, I don't have anything to do with it. But this situation that's going on right now, it's kind of forcing you to choose.
It's moving people out of their neutrality. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, me as a Black person, I kind of understand because I was raised in East St. Louis, Illinois, and it's like 98% black. All my life, I lived around black people. I never lived around white people before. So when I went to college and it was majority white people, like in my dorm, it was just like three or four of us in the whole dorm that was black. And this was like culture shock for me. It was really, truly culture shock because I never lived this way before. So what it really boils down to is I had to get in touch with myself and realize this culture shock I'm dealing with is my issue. It's not their issue. It's not their place to make me feel comfortable. I have to do something to learn to be comfortable in an environment that I'm not used to existing in. And that is where whites are today. I think a lot of whites don't even realize that they have white privilege because it's been that way all their life.
I think you're true. Yeah.
And you can't really hold that against them because that's all they know. That's all they know. So, you know, when you see a black person, it's obvious to me that you're white privileged, but you don't see that. So you take offense when people say you're white privileged. And you take offense because you don't see it. But in order for you to see it, you should be able to stop yourself and say, how can you explain to me if you don't understand why you say I'm white privileged? You know what I'm saying? Because that question opens up discussion instead of you getting an attitude. Pardon me?
I was going to interrupt because I think we are losing the lesson.
I was just going to say, I think this is a really interesting discussion, and it does, it makes everyone introspective, though, about our values.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it goes back and it connects because there are personal values, and there are universal values, and so we have to look at, are we being true to ourselves? Yes. And let's face it, if our personal value, one of our personal values is caring about other people, then that kind of transcends everything. It's because, if you see, look at around the world. People are being driven from their homes and, some countries are closing their borders and not accepting refugees. And it's like, okay, so what are our national values? And what kind of a society do we want our country to be? And it's just, it all comes down to values. And so that's why I've, giving you values work to do over this next week for homework is to really, really work on your values system. And so, I think it's really, there are examples there for you of a list of values. You can go at it to, you can pick out individual values and then you can kind of, find commonalities among them and put them into groups. So, or you can start off with five categories and group values underneath it. And then from your value system, you're going to be writing a code of ethics for yourself. And from your code of ethics will come a mission statement and a vision statement. And I'm giving you some exercises that are going to try and open up your thinking in terms of mission, vision, and values. So you've got an interesting week coming up. So that hopefully by the end of the week, you will have that completed. And if not, you have all of the tools there for you to work on that. So we've been experiencing the pandemic, obviously, and a lot of enforced changes on us as a matter, you know, whether we like it or not. And we'll be, you know, experiencing the fallout from that for another year or two. And not all of the changes have been bad. And so, you know, maybe we could, it'd be nice if we could keep some of the good things that are coming out of living during a pandemic. Are there any values-driven changes that you see as possibilities, as future change for the better? Anyone?
I believe that every cloud has a silver lining. Always talk to my clients about that. Look for the learning. What is the learning? And there's tremendous learning coming out of this pandemic. I mean, people have been forced to make changes. Like, employers have had to trust their employees. Then historically, they believe that if they're working from home, they're going to be, you know, not being diligent or whatever. But it's proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Right? So that's opened up a pathway for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think online learning, how that can be for kids, you know, to use it. Some kids really thrive with it, some don't. That's something that we can carry on with. I happen to think the major damage will be to the kids, to the young kids, because that's not going to change in a year or so. I mean, if they've lived with this kind of traumatic experience at this very crucial time in their life, and you have to wonder, how is it going to affect their future? Their future connection, their future way of seeing the world, you know, things like that. But yeah, I think it's there's a lot of learning. People, Tara Brach, Tara Brach said, she's a psychologist and mindfulness teacher, said that we have become human doings. That's it. We are always focused on doing. And one of the benefits I see coming out of the, and she said, human doings instead of human beings, because we are so busy thinking ahead and so on and so forth. One of the benefits coming out of this is that people have been forced to slow down, to reconnect with family in a different way, to get back to basics in a different way. I mean, more people are gardening and cooking and all kinds of, and being with kids. So, I mean, lots of good.
Yeah, I agree. I think time, you know, we're looking at time differently. And we're looking at family focus and self-care and using our time for self-improvement, you know, and some of us have really slowed down and others are taking self-improvement courses or whatever, you know, learning new things. So everyone is using their time differently.
Another thing is that, I don't know, I used to watch the Jetsons as a cartoon as a kid. And I really believe that the world is going to move to that you know, that future kind of place. But the pandemic, it forced everybody to rethink everything virtually. You know, anything you're doing, everything you're doing, you had to think about how can you do it virtually. Because so it's like, to me, it's like when the machinery took out farming and now technology is taking out machinery.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So time, technologies, we've already talked about racism and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, who knows whether people of color and women and people with disabilities will ever see equity or not. However, I think the level of discussion has been raised beyond what has ever happened before.
Yeah.
Any other? Can anyone else see any other categories or we've done time, technology, racism. Anywhere else see any potential benefits?
Well, like she mentioned before, like family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well,
yeah.
What could I say? Relationships.
Yes, relationships. Yeah, relationships are changing. I mean, I've got a 15-year-old grandson, and dating, you know, teenage dating in COVID has really been a challenge.
Right.
Especially when they're both wearing masks.
Right.
But you know, I mean, relationships everywhere, not only, you know, intimate relationships, but relationships with friends, family. Yes, we've come to cherish them more, or we've come to see them differently. Maybe they'll always be different relationships because of this. You know, you mentioned damage to children, and I think you're absolutely right. It'll be decades before, you know, the damage can be rightfully assessed. And yet, again, I always look to gratitude. You know, our children have not been brought up in a war zone, as so many others have done. And I think not only of our children, you know, I think children of the world with COVID, it really is going to be a different world when all of these COVID children become adults. I wonder what their values are going to be.
That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this sort of ties in,
yeah.
Mrs. Kelly, with a lot
Kelly,
of what we've been saying, but the one of the big key things that I believe this generation and these kids are taking out is the need for connection. And
mm-hmm.
what we refer to, you know, in COVID in terms of the disconnect is it actually forced us to really sit with what's truly important in life, and that's the connections and the love we have for the people in our lives. That's the only thing that really is real. And I know, having had a daughter being disconnected, that as moms, we all had to actually determine that our biggest concern wasn't about them keeping up with their schoolwork, although we did that,
mm-hmm.
but it was about just the emotional importance of them feeling a sense of love and belonging. Our original focus was, you know, keeping them up on their lesson plans, but then, you know, as I got together with my group of moms, we said, well, wait a minute, we were wrong about this. This is about how do we let them know how much they're loved and they belong, and how do we help them connect with one another in these challenging circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's so true.
It really
made me think about the single mothers, I guess, because I was a single mother, but especially if they're working at home, and their kids are home, and they got to
mm-hmm.
homeschool their kids and work still.
Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that's a social, maybe that's a social benefit, is we're learning empathy and kindness and caring for and about others in ways that we haven't before. And are we seeing in kind of an innate goodness coming out in some people? I don't know. You know, I think in global news, there's been a real benefit. I mean, around the world, countries are sharing information. So we're seeing unity and truth because we're sharing, looking for a vaccine. We're sharing information about, you know, numbers of infected and numbers dying. And, you know, everyone suddenly is facing this common enemy. And I think it's done, you know, it's kind of changed too. Our focus on social media is less about ourselves now and, you know, focusing inward, and more about sharing what's going on around the world and trying to stay connected that way.
Yeah. I love what you're saying, Nan, because this also comes down to us having lived many generations of competing with other countries, competing with people, and in this constant mm-hmm. state of competitiveness to be better. And now we're moving into collaboration, whether it's mm-hmm. with our communities, the gap between, you know, people that are struggling. And I've seen many of people with financial means just posting on Facebook, you need anything, reach out to me, you know, privately, and I'll, you know, send you money for food, for ducks. So there's just this sense of community mm-hmm. and collaboration rather than, you know, the trying to, you know, get on top.
Yeah.
So.
And I see that collaboration, too, in science and data, you know, that they're sharing the scientific collaboration, which, and the data that's coming from that is creating new policies
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, I see our governments that are dictating policy that's driven from, you know, COVID information, like the schools. You know, we're going to have to fund our schools differently. We're going to have to fund our police differently. We're going to have to fund, you know, let's look at essential workers now. Those essential workers were heroes going every day to work to stock shelves so that we could eat. You know, so, is that going to change government policy around a minimum living wage for, you know,
and
those?
And sick leaves.
And sick leaves, yes.
Yeah, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
And our senior care. You
yeah,
know, instead of institutionalizing them, are we going to give better home care, you know,
or
and fund home care and give up not-for-profit, yeah,
okay.
give up not-for-profit
yeah.
Seniors care centers, seniors living centers,
or
yeah.
give up for-profit centers. You give up for-profit centers, right, because people profit
yeah.
and then they
yeah.
cut corners, so we want not-for-profit
mm-hmm.
centers.
And maybe
yeah,
fund global health care.
Yeah.
More, you
if
know,
you look back
at
Maslow's.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the pyramid again, and it looks like globally we are at safety needs.
Mm-hmm.
At the second level on Maslow's.
Yes. I, yeah.
Yeah. Globally, yeah. Or in terms of where we're at.
Yeah.
pandemic, yeah.
So interesting. So we're back to, you're right, we're back to physiological and safety needs.
What I wanted to add as a positive, too, just real quick, was the, in that same area would be the improvement of ourselves, because we have to become so very adaptable, which we're all not used to doing very much, with the exception of technology, but also resilience. I mean, those two things, those two life skills, I mean, that's where we learn, that's where we grow, that's where we self-actualize, you know, down the road, and it's, that's the positive that I'm seeing, that when things aren't always going to be the way they used to be, we have to adapt and we have to become resilient. So,
wow, that's huge, isn't it? And that kind of speaks to that transformational change. You know, humans have always been so hesitant and resistant to change, and takes us so long to change. And yet, you're right. We've had to really been able to twist and turn and do all kinds of things differently. And some people are really having trouble.
Yeah.
Accepting that. And others are being very resilient and adaptable.
Yeah, but change is a constant. We just don't like it.
We just don't like it.
This time we didn't have any choice but to, you know, go along with what is happening for our own survival. Yeah, because this thing had the potential of really wiping us out. You know, so we had to work together.
Yeah. And maybe that's another benefit, is around conservation and the environment, that we're going to, you know, as science and technology is starting to really have a focus now, the importance of science, maybe we'll develop new energy systems, you know, maybe we'll be finding a way out of our environmental problems. Look at how our skies have cleared and our lakes have cleared, and you know, there have been so many ecological and environmental benefits while we've been in lockdown that show us how hard we've been on our planet. And maybe that's another value that we're starting to recognize, is that of respecting Mother Nature. So all of these things. Oh, another benefit: consumerism. People are starting to declutter. I mean, while we've been in lockdown, what else have we had to do? We started cleaning out our closets. And I hear so much that people, I mean, we haven't been able to go into malls and stores, so we're buying less stuff.
Exactly.
Now, what that's going to do to our economy... No. So anyway, and certainly airline and travel will be, will we ever travel abroad again, or will we find different ways to travel that will be more environmentally friendly and will be safer for us?
I guess the question is, how will our consciousness about travel change?
The consciousness about what? Sorry.
Travel. Our consciousness about travel. Change.
Yeah. So, as horrible as it's been for us to have been in lockdown, then you know, it's good to know that some benefits are coming out of it. So I hope that you found this discussion of value today, and understanding, you know, the reason for us having it and how important our personal values are. So your homework this week is focused, as I said, on your, on you. Who am I? You know, who, what makes me who I am? And looking at, your unique character traits and strengths and skills and talents and all the things that go up, go into making you who you are. And, I hope that you're going to enjoy doing that work this week. Is there anything that anyone would like to add about today's class? What did you get the biggest value from? Were there any light bulb moments for anyone during our discussions?
Yeah, for me, this is Jerry. Just when you said to leave a legacy, the one that got me was, enhancing the quality of life for others. Philosophical one is what I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's our, you know, it's interesting that all of us are here probably share all very similar personal values, and I think that's probably one of them is our need and our desire to help others and to make the world better for everyone. Thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate that share. So I guess if there's nothing else, then it's time for us to say goodbye. I will send out the recording, and I'll send it out within the next 24 hours. I don't know exactly when I can get it out because I have to wait for Bernadette to send it to me. And I'll send it out to you, and I'll add as an attachment, I think I've got another ebook, one about perfection and procrastination that you might find interesting and helpful. And don't forget, yes.
I wanted to say, I should have said it before, thanks for allowing the discussion we had, and I think that maybe people will have some time to think about what they got out of today's session and maybe give that feedback later.
I appreciate that.
Me too.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think all of this is something that we need to digest. And so I'm really pleased to hear that you're going to give that time to just simmer a little bit and think about it. And I do appreciate feedback, any feedback, like, you know, the fact that we had trouble getting the material to you, I want to make sure that never happens again. And so I always can learn to improve from mistakes.
Man, I tried to join the Facebook, the second one you sent me.
Yeah.
And it's still doing the same thing. Was everybody else able to click on their join and get in?
Yeah, I think about five people have joined.
It's Rebecca. Yeah, I couldn't join either. I did find the link in my spam, but then it says that it's the link is no longer active or something like that. So.
Yeah.
I got that message.
Oh, it,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Maybe they'll resend the invite.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
But you sent it to me the second time, right?
Yeah, I just sent it to you. Yeah. I just sent it to you before class started. At the beginning. Oh. Okay. I'll check that out. Okay. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to next week. Okay, bye-bye. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
You too.